ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Welcome to the Big Thummy Head Reunion Tour, brought to you by Old Trapper. Well, official.
Tell us about that Old Trapper, Mike.
Anytime you want your meat smoked, buy some Old Trapper meat.
It's smokealicious.
Smokealicious, man. Good stuff.
Brought also, to you by Old Trappers.
And also,
Uncle Bud's deep fried Cajun peanuts.
Now fat free. Freer. No added fat.
It's almost.
And sponsors of the Big Foamy Head Show.
That's right. Fine quality meat and meat-like products.
They're the ones providing the show snacks for today.
And we had to go upscale with the food in order to pair with our beers that we have. And we've got a great lineup of beers today, kicking it off with Goose Island Bourbon County Brand Stout.
Mm.
And, Rick, you were excited that we were kicking it off with this, right?
Yeah, excited. That's a good word for it. So I've already been into mine.
That's right.
Half a bottle while you guys were doing your warm-up beers. So let me know what you think when you open it.
We're drinking it right now. It's great. Pours. Okay, so I got some notes on it, and I've been swirling it in the glass, and it's a festive little show, just swirling it and watching it in the glass.
Look at the color, just the color around the edges.
The bottle's actually a pretty good read. I mean, sometimes it's hard to read bottles, but it says, I really wanted to do something special for our 1,000th batch at the original brew pub. Goose Island could have thrown a party, but we did something better. We brewed a beer, a really big batch of stout. So big, malt was coming out of the top of the mash tun. After fermentation, we brought in some bourbon barrels and aged the stout for 100 days.
Nice.
Pretty good stuff.
It's very good. 100. Okay, so 1,000th batch, 100-day aged in barrels. And the specs on this guy, it is 13% ABV alcohol. It says IBUs of 60, which is not really too high considering this is an imperial stout. The color. Look at this. Some marketing guy said midnight.
I was going to say the back side of your eyelids.
It's real pretty. It's got brown. It's got a brown tint. It's not black.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a real dark burnt caramel. When you swirl it, that's what I said. I wasn't kidding. When you swirl this thing around, it paints your glass.
It reminds me of the sun when you see an eclipse. You know how the fire ring around it, if you swirl it.
When you swirl it.
And you see the ring around the body of liquid there.
It's a very pretty beer. It's very thick. I mean, a very heavy mouth feel. And let's see, we do have some brewmaster notes. Brewed in, and Rick just read it, brewed in honor of the 1,000th batch at the original brew pub. Liquid is dark and dense as a black hole with a thick foam the color of a bourbon barrel.
Mm-hmm.
There was zero foam in mine. And every time I read that, they talk about the head on this. You know, we're using Rick's got a tasting glass. I've got my Jack Daniel's drinking glass.
Yeah.
And you.
What a better glass to drink bourbon beer out of.
Yeah, and you and Vic are drinking out of Chimay glasses. And so Vic is joining us. So it's Rick, Dick, Vic, and
Mike.
I
thought you were going to say Mick.
I was going to say Mick.
But Mike, we're going to rename you. We're going to change your name to Mick.
That's cool. Right.
Rick, Dick, Vic, and Mick.
Right. Kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does, man.
Nothing like alliteration and a good beer.
A couple more of these, and I'll be down at the
court. They just have a generic bourbon barrel. I mean, it's got to come from someone, right?
Yeah. It didn't say whose bourbon, did it?
No. There's not that many bourbon makers in the world.
Well, I mean, I'm figuring they had to get a number of them, and they are in Chicago, so I don't think Chicago has a – they brought it up.
It can't be bourbon unless it's made in the state of Kentucky.
That is true. So it must have been drug up from Kentucky which is not too far away.
You know, maybe they just got some marketing issues or rights or might be working on.
Or where they don't mention the brand.
Maybe they can't. Legally, they can't right now.
Yeah.
Although I lived in Lexington, Kentucky for a while, and down there, the bourbon barrels, they're just generic. You can buy them at the hardware store or at the Home Depot or whatever for
the used
planters.
Ones.
The
put
used
your
ones.
Plants in them.
So you don't know whose barrel it was.
Yeah, it's not marked.
You know, Home Depot has them a lot of times here.
I don't know if I'd want to pour my beer into a Home Depot bourbon barrel.
Well, they got them cut in half and turned
cut
upside
in
down.
Half.
But these were probably full bourbon barrels. One would think so.
Yeah.
This is composed of Willamette hops, and the malt bill is two-row Munich, chocolate, caramel, roast barley, and debittered black.
I don't even taste any hop in that.
That's what I'm saying. It said it's 60 IBUs, and so this is an imperial, and it's like I got zip for hops. I mean, you're not. There's
my
no
first kinda impression was chocolate milk. Actually,
seems like you can taste the. There's some caramelization almost from the the burnt wood or whatever in the liquid.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, you're
going
to get vanilla out of the oak. Vanillins and the bourbon also will give you some vanilla character, which I'm getting. It's pretty strong.
I mean, this is almost like a dessert topping. Oh. And we've had an awful lot of stouts and bourbon stouts, but this is on the money.
Roll it on your tongue like you do a wine, like you taste a wine, and taste that alcohol on that one. Just kind of take some air in real quick.
Yeah, man, I'm getting a little bit, but it's still... Yeah. It's still, to me, maybe it's just because I'm not getting it up front, right? This, I think this might could qualify. Ooh. I don't know if this is quite the date rape beer.
It's
But it's close because it's getting there because this is a high ABV, and so this will take you out. Well, speaking of being taken out, we've lost, segued. We have lost yet another musical
Legend.
Yeah, I was trying to think, what's the right word for this guy? And it's Alex Chilton. So as you heard our intro song, that was The Letter by the Box Tops.
Great
and anybody
song.
Here, I mean, everybody in the world's heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the shorter songs, a minute and change, very short.
Been done by a lot of people.
Joe Cocker covered it, did a good job on it, and actually made some money off of it. But the lead singer on the Box Tops, and this is in 1967, was a young 16-year-old Alex Chilton. And I knew about this, but I looked it up just to verify because I'd heard, you know, from the musical people around here. They took him into the studio and wore him out until his voice became very low and gruff and not his natural voice at all. Mm-hmm. And as you will hear later in everything else he ever sang, much higher voice, much higher octave.
Well, but, did they do that on purpose?
Yeah.
What were they trying to do? Make him sound older or what?
You got to remember, though, this is
give him that Memphis R&B sound.
Exactly right. Because the part that we kind of stepped on a little, you can hear the Memphis horns kicking in the background, you know, and it's got that, it is one of the definitive Memphis sound songs. I mean, without a doubt. So he passed away at the age of 59. He would have been 60 in December. And he is one of those guys that if you look into the musicology and stuff, he always missed fame. But all the musicians knew him, worshipped him, wrote songs about him. The Replacements wrote a song called Alex Chilton.
He worked with a lot of people, too.
Worked with everybody and inspired.
He stayed busy and made money.
And he pioneered what's called power pop. And if you play any of the Big Star songs, Big Star was like the big group that really got him a lot of notoriety for the power pop thing. It still sounds current to this day. I mean, it's just something that it kind of spans time. And everybody and their brother just thought, oh, Alex is great. But he couldn't make shit for money.
Mm-hmm.
And he quit. Said to hell with it. And moved to New Orleans and didn't record for many, many years. And then they brought him back. So here's the catch. He died March 17th, and there was going to be a Big Star reunion March 20th at South by Southwest.
Oh, wow.
It went on, but as a tribute to him. And so they got some other artists in. So that was going to be the Big Star Reunion at the in South by Southwest, you know, huge mm-hmm. music and tech show mm-hmm. and all that.
In Austin, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's today, by the way.
Today.
March 20th.
Oh.
And I heard that they're in 50-degree weather and snow and rain. And, well, they can't have snow in 50 degrees, but I heard South by Southwest was kind of the suck today.
In Austin, Texas.
Yeah, because of, well, it's a weather front.
Going All right. Big weather oh, that's front. Right. You're responsible for that, I believe.
I am. Yeah. We had yeah. to dig out a little snowfall here on the first day of spring.
And we're looking forward to it coming in. Oh, today's first day of spring, right? Is it today or tomorrow?
20th.
Today at 5 o'clock.
We're full of facts here.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the first
it's the spring solstice.
Hey, and
Vic doesn't know this, but we're all about facts, and if we don't know them, we make them up.
it's the second day of the year where the night is the same length as the day.
All right.
I'm
ready for that, too.
Want to kind of change subject here real quick. There's an author. His name is Barry Hanna. He's from Oxford, Mississippi. And he recently died. And he was being about ready to be honored at a big literary award type thing. And they had it all set up, ready to go. And he died like the day before. And so that turned into a tribute. When you mentioned that, it reminded me.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about how ungrateful all these dead bastards are. You know, just going and dying and leaving everybody hanging.
I know. They just leave them hanging.
It's the nerve of them.
Yeah.
And what can you do?
You guys are kind of bumming me out.
This just in, who else is still dead?
Yeah.
Elvis is still dead.
No, he's alive. The one thing, though, supposedly for every artist, that death brings greater fame. So maybe Alex Chilton will finally get the recognition he deserves.
I bet you're right. I bet you we will see. So I bet you. All right. Grammys just happened, though. Again, timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, by another year rolling around, a lot of people forget.
Yep. Well, mm-hmm. And the other thing, here's the other Alex Chilton fun fact. And this is one of the songs. I don't know if we'll play this or not, but it's called In the Street. And that was one they recorded, Big Star recorded. I think that was off of their second album. But that's what you hear on the 70s show as the startup. But it's not them. It's Cheap Trick singing it. And the deal about this, I'm reading the little factoid here, is that Alex Chilton found it ironic that he's paid $70 in royalties every time the show airs. And I got to thinking.
Is that all?
I got to thinking, that thing's on all the damn time.
Oh, even reruns?
Yeah, once it goes into syndication, it's on like 5 times a day, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Some obscure channel.
That
yeah.
adds up.
Oh, it's an ASCAP licensed song, so it's going to get played, right?
Cool.
And you got to pay. You got to pay to play. They don't
How
care.
About when they're doing an advertisement and it's on?
Do they use it in an advertisement?
Well,
I think so.
In that case, then the advertiser has to negotiate differently. It's not the same ASCAP rules, so
right.
it's a whole different licensing agreement for commercial use.
Hmm.
Actually, there are now ASCAP and BMI rules for podcast, which we should probably look into.
Or not.
Or not.
Let's just make it up. We don't know anything.
Wait, let me remind me to delete that part, which I just said. That way I can disavow all knowledge.
We don't know. Duh, what?
It's like, have you heard our show? We drink a lot. Mm-hmm. We forget everything. We black out. That's our excuse.
You know, the guy up at Booyah's, we go up there for trivia every now and then, and he had to quit playing music during the – You know, they ask a question, they play a song, right? And then you turn your answers in during the song.
They get busted for
the usage. Advertising rights, yeah.
Well, you know, good luck with that, right?
I'm telling you.
Okay, so the other big thing of interest is we, as we've referred to Memphis in the past, this is the Darfur of beer. There is just squat for beer around here, but for whatever reason, planets aligning, tides shifting, whatever, we're getting beer festivals here.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I mean, there Mike and Alan went to one, mm-hmm. and there's a couple of more coming up, and there's some beer dinners going on. It's like there is we're watching a craft beer revival, renaissance, whatever you want to call it here. Yeah. So what was the?
I think it's an awakening. Awakening, yeah. And people are becoming more adapt to the craft beer. I mean, even Anheuser-Busch, Coors, Miller, all those guys, they're bringing out.
They're out there pimping their.
Yeah, pimping their wares.
But, so what was the one you went to? What was it called?
The River City Brewers Festival.
Okay.
And very good showing. Had Yazoo there. Magic Hat is associated with Deacon Alley, AB, and they showed up. We had Yazoo was there, had the Sioux, which is the smoked porter.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, they had a keg behind the table. And I talked to Steve Barziza, and he told me that they were bringing the Sioux with them. So I went up, and I go, hey, where's the Sioux? I don't see it anywhere. And they went, well, we're kind of hanging that for the next session. And I go, uh-uh, no, you aren't. I want some of that Sioux. And so he grabbed the tap and went back there and tapped it and put some in my cup. And then somebody saw it, and then I tasted it and talked to some people. They went and got it, and hell, they ended up pulling it up front, and they burned up the whole keg at first session.
So you single-handedly introduced Sue to the Memphis market.
No kidding.
If anybody likes it, it's because of you,
pioneer.
And I'm not kidding you. We had like seven in our party, and that is the only beer that everybody liked.
Mike, did you use the name Big Foamy Head? You know Linus Hall is a friend of the show, right?
That's
oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to the people there that were with Sue. Linus was not there. But I talked with his people and whatnot. Very nice.
We go way back.
Yeah, we've got the video is posted. Yeah. It's out on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
I said, if you search for Yazoo and Big Foamy Head, what was that, 3 years ago at least?
It's
if not
wild,
four?
But, yeah. It got so dark inside the flying saucer that I had to just cut in just images of walking around Beale.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that now.
But it's a good that kind of goes to the uh-huh. craft brewers and them being like, you know, you can talk to any of them. You know?
They're great people.
So we need to pop this, Sue, and I was gonna ask Vic, because you lived abroad and we were talking the other night about you had some German and Austrian beers. So
you said he lived with abroad?
That too.
Okay.
Still does.
Still do.
Yeah. Wife doesn't know about it. So, oh, damn. One more thing to edit.
Yeah.
Okay. But you probably had the Rick can say it better than me. The Rausch beers.
Rauch beer. Yeah.
Rauch beers. You know, Germanic boy over there. But the smoked beers.
Right.
So this will be one for
Rauchen,
you.
Rauchen is the verb to smoke.
Okay.
So Rauch is smoked beers.
All right. So you had
out of Bamberg.
Yeah, Bamberg.
Damn, we're getting some learning.
I know.
I love it.
I got Rick gave me a bag of beechwood. I got it right there to smoke some stuff. And perhaps a beer.
I thought you were going to make some Budweiser.
All right, yes. So we're gonna have to taste this and let you compare this smoked porter.
Looking forward to it. I've never even heard of it.
It's brand new.
Oh, that's probably why.
Mike Baum was the only one who knew about it.
They had the hop project there, and it was kind of tucked underneath the table, but they were pouring it because people would see the keg and go, "What's that?" But they had this big Yazoo sign with three taps.
Right.
They had Dos Perros, Hefeweizen, and they got like a golden ale or something like that.
Yeah, they're mainstream beer. I can't even remember what it is.
For the masses.
But Yazoo is not distributed as widely as Goose Island.
Oh, no.
It's out there, but it may not be near you. Rick was going to look and see. You weren't even sure if it made it to Colorado yet. Probably not.
Yazoo, I don't believe it has. No.
No, yeah. I kind of doubt it.
Okay, we'll get right on that. Mike,
my favorite Yazoo, though, is
call Linus up. Man, you said you were in with Linus. Get that damn beer out there, will you?
That's right.
Rick, what was your favorite Yazoo?
Amarillo Ale.
That's the one.
Yeah.
The Amarillo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've tried to clone it about five times. It's a really good beer.
Yeah, my favorite was the Hop Project, the one I think I had number 5.
You know, the one I had was number 29.
Yeah, that's the one you got to go to the brew pub.
Yeah.
In Nashville, and Hop project.
No, they've started just bottling, but they only sell it in the Nashville area.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is one of the better IPAs, fresh hops.
Fresh hops,
just beautiful.
Super, super duper.
All right, guys, look at the camera.
Okay. Rick is giving us the my beer is empty signal. So
that's like giving somebody the finger.
That's right. So, all right. So we're going to fade out. This is a guy. Vic brought this over. We're going to talk about this when we come back. Blind Willie McTell, Statesboro Blues.
Wake up, mama. Turn your lamp down low. Wake up, mama. Have you got the nerve to drive Papa McTell from your door? My mother, daddy left me reckless. My daddy left me wild. Mother, daddy left me reckless. Daddy left me wild. No, I'm not good looking, but I'm some sweet woman's angel child. She's a mighty mean woman, do me this away. She's a mighty mean woman, do me this away. When I leave this town, pretty mama, I'm gonna wait to stay. What a lovely woman, better than anyone I'd ever seen. I once loved a woman, better than I'd ever seen. Treating me like I'm a king and she was a doggone queen. Sister, tell your brother. Brother, tell your auntie. Now, auntie, tell your uncle. Uncle, tell my cousin. Now, cousin, tell my friend. Going up the country. Mama, don't you want to go? May take me a fair brown. May take one or two more. Big 80 left Savannah, blowing and did not stop. You ought to saw that color farming when he got them ball of hot. You can reach over in the corner, mama, and hand me my traveling shoes. You know by that I've got them Statesboro blues. Mama, sister got them, auntie got them, brother got them, friend got them, I got them. I woke up this morning, we had them Statesboro blues. I looked over in the corner, grandma and grandpa had them too.
So that was Blind Willie McTell. And Vic, how did you happen to come across Blind Willie?
First heard Blind Willie at a place called Vegetable Buddies in South Bend, Indiana, a bar that my buddy owned. He used to get all the Chicago acts, Muddy Waters and Sun Seals and Coco Taylor, all the Chess Records artists to come down off contract and play for cash. So as these bluesmen would be up there, and at the time I was just a teenager, I'd always ask them, like, well, where did you hear that? Or, you know, how did you learn how to play that? And that's when I first heard the name Blind Willie McTell. And after living in Chicago and Indy and sort of around the horn, came across his music. And it's now, of course, iTunes, you know, has it all. And but a guy that, you know, developed the double-handed playing style, you know, where he would
rhythm and lead on,
you know,
on one
supposedly
hand,
yeah. With Elmore James, you know, one of the first to do that. He was also, you know, very deceptive because you listen even to Statesboro Blues and he sounds like a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a very high,
very
voice.
Almost a falsetto, and but he was the first recording artist that would actually start the conversation where he would have a woman typically sing with him. In fact, the Your Southern Can Is Mine, or the last one, I Want to Scoop For You, Let Me Scoop For You. He has a running dialogue with his singer, and it's conversational, but it's all in rhythm of the song. And mm-hmm. that was, you know, real different where – you know, in the old timey music, it was so structured. And so the idea that someone would actually talk to someone on a record was unheard of. And that began, I think, a whole level of improvisational blues that we're just sort of used to now where, you know, tell it or, whatever the sort of add-on or ad-lib is.
Yeah, and I was looking at there's a three-disc set on eMusic that you can download for next to nothing that had all of these, and they cover his whole career. So this is from I think he's born 1907, something like that. And so this is from the 30s, more or less. And Stashboro Blues, if you didn't catch it, that's what most everybody knows from the Allman Brothers. So you got to factor that in. This is a song that's been around for quite a number of years, like many, many blues standards have been, right?
Interestingly enough, he actually was born sighted in one eye and lost his sight as a teenager. But in almost all his songs, he talks about seeing.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting, the way that he looked at life was just like everybody else.
Yeah, I love hearing these older blues because it lets you know where all of this is founded and where it comes from. And we were talking offline earlier about you can follow these trails and where it leads from singer to singer to singer. And you were saying the guy who covered the majority or the guy who covered Blind Willie McTell the most is Bob Dylan. That guy. You might have heard of him.
Yeah.
Perhaps you've
Zimmerman.
Heard of
Bob Zimmerman.
That's right. That
is that the guy who can't enunciate?
Yeah. That's right. But he's on medication now. He's much better.
Ever since the motorcycle wreck, he's had a problem with that.
Go back to Chess.
Him and Gary Busey, man.
Go back to Chess Records. I watched a movie the other night. It was an old it's been out for a little while, I guess. Not an old movie. It was the one with Beyonce in it.
Dreamgirls. No.
No. It had the story of the blues.
Cadillac Records. Cadillac Records,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, that was pretty good. Right, yeah. First time I'd seen it, and I thought it was pretty good.
Was that like – that is a real label, right?
Yeah, Cadillac. Chess Records.
Okay. So that was about Chess?
It was loosely based on Chess Records.
Okay.
It wasn't completely –
So it wasn't really factual, right?
Although – there's a lot of parallels between the Chess Records and Philips and Sun Studio in that, you know, these guys, they were commercially viable, but it was really always about the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the music didn't have any racial barriers. It was just about the sound and how good a player was. And, you know, much like Sam Phillips, you know, really pioneered a lot of people that weren't getting airplay because of the racial issues of the times.
Yeah.
And still really viable today.
Mm-hmm.
Alligator Records has bought a lot of the library from Chess, and they're still publishing it. But some great, great music.
Yeah, I know Rhino Records, they were ones to do a lot of re-releases once they go out of print, and I don't know how they went about acquiring the rights. I did read something about Blind Willie McTell, though, that like many of the blues artists, that after a while, you know, as popularity of it rose and faded, when he died, I think it said in 57 or 59, they weren't sure he was dead, and people in the 60s and 61s were still referring to him as being alive when his music started to come back again. So, yeah.
Thank God for the internet. We know when people are dead.
Yeah. More dead guys. Okay, so dead guys and bourbon apparently is the theme of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on to our next beer. The Bourbon Barrel Barley Wine from Central Waters. And
Dick, before you move on to that, I do think we have to give the props to Sue. I thought the smoky flavor of that was pretty distinctive. So
that's right. We had while you were listening to Blind Willie, we were enjoying smoked porter from Yazoo. And Rick, you're drinking a porter as well, right?
Scottish Porter, which is a style I've never really heard of. It's the Flying Dog Road Dog. And, you know, the Flying Dog labels are always kind of fairly interesting. So,
great artwork.
It's good. It's good. It's not too dark. It's I wouldn't even call it a porter, actually. It's probably more of a Scottish, although I'm not getting any of the smoke character that I would expect in a good Scottish ale.
Well, and see, we have got smoke character up the butt with Sue.
You know,
don't let me get technical.
I can taste it. I can actually taste it now. A while ago, I couldn't taste it because that bourbon barrel porter just wiped my palate out, man.
Well, it's a tongue cutter.
And
for sure.
I just took another taste after drinking that the bourbon
the barley wine.
Wine. I guess the barley wine wiped my palate. And then I was able to taste the smoke this time.
Yeah, the Sue,
what's
the
our motto?
Sue is
more barley wine all the time.
All the time.
The Sue, good stuff, and pairs exceptionally well with Old Trapper meats and Mike's nuts.
I hear your nuts are good.
Yeah. They're delicious.
He said he had great nuts, but no one would believe him until he whipped them out and put them in a glass.
They say that Chef...
Here, taste my nuts.
Chef on South Park had pretty good chocolatey balls.
That's right. They were salty. Much like yours. Your nuts, I mean. No, these are
Uncle Bud's deep-fried Cajun peanut.
Well, you know, in wine tasting, guys, you know, they always talk about the sorbet or the palate cleanser, or, you know, the way you're supposed to rinse your mouth. What do you guys think about, cleansing your palate during beer tasting?
Yeah, well, you know, when we go to the Great American Beer Fest, the only thing we use water for is to rinse the glass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you see these guys. That's a good point.
It's actually an interesting segue because I'm studying to become a BJCP judge, Beer Judge Certification Program. And part of the judging process is you do actually want to have bread and water there to cleanse the palate. I prefer the non-leavened breads like crackers and malza and things like that because part of the character of beer is yeast. And if you have a bread that has yeast in it, a lot of what you're tasting is the bread that you just had as a palate cleanser. So you really got to be careful about what you choose. Maybe some unsalted saltines, which is an oxymoron, I guess. But anything that doesn't have yeast in it, you know.
What about matzah? I've heard a lot of the judges use matzah crackers.
Yeah,
that exactly. Would be an unleavened. Now, I was going to say about the people wearing the rings of pretzels that wander around the beer fest. That seems like a bad idea. You're eating a bunch of salt.
Well, yeah, but the pretzels don't have yeast in them either. You know, so you are going to get some of the bread and the melanoidins and things like that come off the pretzel. So, you know, you might be tasting a lot of pretzel beers that day, but it's better than nothing, right?
Well, that's true. That's true.
What do you prefer, Rick? What do you like? Do you have the unsalted saltines?
I like flatbreads, tortillas, unleavened breads. The matzah is fine, malta, or whatever the Jewish bread is.
Matzah. Yeah.
I think you need to eat my meat. It's kippered beef.
Well, thank you, Mike. Hey, I appreciate the offer.
Mike's a giving sort of guy.
We're so far away.
It's Old Trapper kippered beef steak. It's delicious.
Your meat doesn't reach to Denver, though, does it?
Oh, I'm sure we got somebody out there. We got 60 guys.
Are you talking about as a palate cleanser?
Yeah.
Yeah, jerky is often underrated as a palate cleanser.
Okay.
Don't knock it till you try it.
And peanuts.
Man. I'm not knocking it at all. I'm sure that Mike's meat is just fine.
So, you know, hey, you know this is going to come back again on another beer show that apparently listens to us and mocks us, at least in their titles. But okay, so the barley wine that we're drinking, back on subject, it's from Central Waters Brewing Company. And I got some notes.
No, I've never heard of these guys. Where are they from?
Actually, we've had them.
They're out of Wisconsin.
Yep. We've had some of their beers over the years.
From the land of sky blue waters.
That's right. And I got, they're rated an A, which, by the way, our Bourbon County Stout that we started with was also rated A on Beer Advocate. Every beer we've got that our primary beers are all A-rated beers. So the Bourbon Barrel Barley Wine, 11.5% alcohol by volume. And the appearance, deep ruby red with slight purple tinge, according to one reviewer. I don't see red or purple.
It's got a purple label.
It's got a
caramel. It does.
It's got kind of
maybe
a caramel.
Maybe they're talking about the bottle.
Kind of a caramel red, I guess.
A little bit of caramel, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a dark.
Caramel
a darker,
or
not
caramel.
A dark. Not midnight. But it says a good sweetness is similar to a sherry or port. And I'd go with that. I've definitely got some kind of sherry-ish
and
overtones.
I like it. I really do. This is a good one.
It's definitely got the alcohol burn to me compared to the other one. I'm getting alcohol, and it says a hint of – it really does. Now that I've read that, that's all I'm tasting is sherry and port notes.
I don't get any of the port, but I get the sherry. I got a little bit of the sherry.
See, I was going to say the opposite, that it was, to me, more port than sherry.
Port is a lot sweeter, though, to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're here, you taste that
sherry,
alcohol.
That
like
sherry, you got that
right.
Dryness.
Right. I'm getting like it's a combination of port and PGA. I believe that sums it up. But now it's one of those things, and of course this goes back to what we talked about, where these, once you get into these higher end beers, depending on, that's where your palate really takes off.
Yeah.
And here's dude saying both, and we're getting opposite ends. Oh, it's more this. No, it's more that. And we're both right. Right. It's what we individually are tasting.
Well, I'll tell you what I saw yesterday, and this will bring it all into perspective.
Okay. What did you see yesterday, Mike?
Good Eats.
Oh, on Good Eats.
Alton Brown.
Alton Brown. I love him because I'm a why guy.
Me too.
I'm a why guy. Why? Uh-huh. And that's kind of what he does, his show, is why do things happen the way they happen. And he was talking about sweet and sour.
Yeah.
And you could put salt on a grapefruit to make it edible, where if you put sugar on it, you still get the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you put sugar on something bitter. You know, you're still getting the bitterness and the sweet.
Right.
But if you put salt on it, and it's all about the taste buds and their receptors and all that and how they interact, and you can put salt on something, and it will mask.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I'm sure the beers are very similar. You know?
Rick, in your your judging training, do they talk about the different parts of the tongue? You know, there's the sweet and the salty receptors, and I think that's so important when you taste this stuff, to make sure you try to get it all through your tongue to really
pick up
get those differences.
Right. Actually, to accurately judge a beer, you have to swallow at least an ounce of it. You want to coat the entire inside of your mouth and hit all the areas of the tongue, and then you got to swallow to get the mouthfeel and the body, and you also have taste receptors going down your throat a little bit. So, I mean, it's a full thing, and it's also in the sinuses and the nose where you smell the beer. So, I mean, there's a whole sensory perception going on.
You know, my wife, she cannot smell, believe it or not. Thank
goodness. Which explains how she ended up with you.
But can you imagine her eating, her trying to eat, and not being able to smell? Because smell is such an important part of
what you're
tasting.
Yeah, set your expectations, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know it's got to be tough on her to, you know, that I think that's why she doesn't like beer, because beer is so effervescent and there's so much going up in the,
right.
in the
so
nose.
She's missing out the introduction as it's coming in. Yeah. But going back to what you were, you know, earlier on the earlier beer, you said swirl this around and take in some air to get that. So it was the same sort of thing. You had picked up something on the receptors.
But isn't it interesting with the, you know, the classic sommelier wine tasting, especially with the reds, you know, they emphasize smelling it for 20 minutes. Do they emphasize that much smelling to judge beer, Rick?
No, not so much. It's more the taste and the mouthfeel and the color. The overall impression. There's like five categories that we judge on. But
you got nose though, right?
Nose is definitely part of it. Yeah,
yeah, and that's where I copied for our show notes some notes from Beer Advocate, which their style, they follow along the same guidelines, is the appearance, smell, taste, and the description, which is the last category they kind of combine. It's basically an overall, right? Mm-hmm. And remember, we did that a while back. We had some sheets where we were going down. Yeah. But that's the thing. The all beer tasting is so subjective. You know, mm-hmm. it's still going to come down to the individual. And although we've gotten – okay, so these two beers, let's talk about this one. It's a bourbon barrel. We haven't said the word bourbon yet. On this,
no, we did.
I mean,
but no, when we were talking about the first one, we were talking about how we.
No, I mean with this one, the bourbon barrel barley wine.
That we haven't said that. You're right.
I'm not getting bourbon myself. I'm getting more the sherry and port. Yeah. Who knows? You guys, anybody got bourbon?
I didn't get any bourbon out of it. You know, one of the
It's light. It's real
the most
light.
Interesting things that I always thought about bourbon barrels is that. You know, before the 19th century, all Scotch was clear.
Really?
So if you went
really?
if you went to the, you know, Glenfiddich Distillery or whatever in the up in the moors, it was clear, and it wasn't brown until they started buying bourbon barrels, because all high end Scotches are aged in bourbon barrels that they get from Kentucky.
Get out. Really.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's and I like a good Scotch.
Yeah.
And, of course, the whole story of the bourbon barrels is the story of the minister, and his name escapes me, although I'm sure we can look it up. It was from Bourbon County and was taking his moonshine down to New Orleans to sell. And I don't know if you guys have heard this or whatever, heard this story in Lexington. He was selling the liquor to raise money for his church and his congregation, so he felt it was very important that he raise this money. And they had distilled everything, and it was in the large vats, and they were going to barrel it, and there was a fire in the barn, and the insides of the barrels were charred. So, you know, he made the executive decision to pour it into the barrels anyway to take it down there, because the whole church and congregation was riding on it. So they poured it in the barrels and they loaded it into the flatboats, and they took it down to New Orleans. And when they got it down there, they were, you know, right at the riverhead or whatever, right, you know, near the French Quarter, and they opened up one of the barrels and it came out brown, so they figured that it was ruined and that no one would ever want to drink it because it wasn't clear liquor like they had been selling down there. So they sat on it for a while, and he didn't know what to do or whatever, and finally he said, well, you know, maybe I can find some barkeep that's drunk that'll buy it anyway if it's dark or whatever. So they went and they tried it, and it turned out that the charring of the inside of the barrel had mellowed the alcohol and give it the distinctive bourbon taste. And so he was able to get tenfold the price on the moonshine for the bourbon. And that's why to this day they were able to patent it, and that's why they can protect the name bourbon, that it has to come from the state of Kentucky, is that it's the barrel aging or whatever. That
That's
gives
a hell of a story there. That's great.
Yeah, I know that they use wood fires to do cooperage, just to get the barrels,
right,
the wood to bend in the barrel shape before they put, you know, they've got the staves and then they've got the barrel rings that they got to hammer into place. So they use a fire to do that, at least in the old country. I thought that's where the wood smokiness came from.
That'd be on the outside, though, wouldn't it?
Well, no, yeah, both in and out or whatever to bend the, you know, to get the wood or whatever to fit into the barrel. But they never, you know, like you said, is that prior to, you know, 1840 in Scotland, Scotch was clear.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. That's an interesting
Very
story.
Very cool. Well, let's take a break and come back. This is a song that I came across while looking for some Blind Willie McTell. So in an indirect way, the guiding hand of Blind Willie led me to this guy. And so this is a Robert Johnson song. Take a listen to this. And this is Terraplane Blues from, I think it was 26 or something like that. Old as hell. And you'll be surprised who this guy is.
You know, I feel so lonesome. Lord, won't you hear me when I'm wanting? You know, I feel so lonesome. Lord, won't you hear me when I'm wanting? Pull me right from my terraplane. Whoa, Lord, for you, since I've been gone. I said, and I fled my lights, baby. You know your horn won't even blow. You know I fled my lights. Lord, now your horn won't even blow. There must be a short in this here connection. Whoa, deep down, way below. Yeah, baby. Ooh, let a girl tangle with you wild.
dash down on that start of dawn. I need a girl to give me fire.
So you probably have heard of the guy who just got to singing. That was Dion. And Dion, I don't know how many people were actually born when Dion came out with his first hit in 1958.
I was not born.
You were not born.
Okay. I was born.
I was about to be born. I was getting close to born.
I know I was a lot older than you guys.
Well, I was born the next year. So, Dion, you were 3 years old?
No, 3 years later.
Okay. Now that we've all divulged our respective ages, Dion just kind of, that was his heyday, though, was 52 years ago, right? 50, more or less, it was rounded off 50 years ago. Well, as it turns out, at the same time that he was recording and kind of getting into where Dion was kind of established in the 60s, between 62 and 65, he, quote, discovered the blues and sang on all of his albums, this is teeny bopper, white bread, safe music. He'd throw in some blues. And he recorded a bunch of different guys. Well, segue now to, and I forget the year, it's either 2006, 7, or 8, he recorded a new album called Bronx to Blues or Blues to Bronx. It's on eMusic. Just look up Dion. And it's nothing but classics. And what that was Terrapin Blues, a Robert Johnson recording from way the hell back, and he just delivers it in a grand style. Eric, we were talking offline, Eric Clapton is a huge Robert Johnson fan, has recorded probably the whole catalog. But I thought he did a great job. I mean, real acoustic-y. And then I was trying to do the math, which is an interesting challenge after enough bourbon-style beers. He's got to be looking 70 square in the face. He sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he had a great sound.
Most blues guys do. And,
yeah, so I got to think about it. It's like, well, hell, he's finally getting the right age.
That's right.
To sing some of these.
You hit it 3 or 4 years, and then you kick the bucket. You know?
Yeah, but I thought that was cool. I came across him.
You gotta suffer if you want to sing the blues.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I believe he's had his share of suffering. He had the obligatory heroin and alcohol addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So
haven't we all?
Yeah, who hasn't? Right? Yeah, man. Hey, eighth grade's tough.
I'm telling you, man.
So
that crack cocaine, it's a bitch.
I know. Got to ride the dragon too. All right, so we were talking about, you know, what holiday just came and went, and I don't know if anybody blinked an eye about it, was St. Patrick's Day.
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah.
I didn't do nothing.
We, the day of the River City Brewers Festival, they had a St. Patty Day parade.
Oh, yeah.
They were throwing the beads and the candy and all that stuff, so I came home with like 800 pounds of beads and 100 pounds of candy.
You didn't drink any green beer, did you?
No, I did not. I drank a lot of that Sioux that day.
All right.
Yes, sir.
You know what bothers me is they put the beads on you and all that happy, fun stuff, and then you're driving home. An officer pulls you over. You been drinking? No.
I like beads.
I like beads. I wear these all the time.
That's right.
Haven't been partying.
Yeah, pull me over next week. I'll prove it to you. So did you go anywhere, do any St. Patrick's Day festivities?
Well, you know, I went to an Irish pub, our local Irish pub, and fought my way into the door and squeezed my way through the crowd up to one spot in the bar and was shoved aside. So I went to another spot in the bar and stood there for about 5 minutes. And then finally some guy said, hey, if you'll watch my beer, you can have Billy up to the bar here. And I did. And ordered a pint of Guinness and was quite happy that it finally arrived. And she said, $8.
Whoa.
What? She said, $8. $8 for a pint of Guinness. Well, okay. So I paid. I drank my beer. The kitchen staff was running me over the entire time I was trying to sip on it, and then I just left.
So
that was
so
my St. Patrick's Day experience.
So you had the kiss me, I'm Irish, screw me, I'm Guinness.
Yeah.
$8. Wow.
$8. But that was one of the best Guinness you'd ever had, right?
Well, it was poured by actual leprechauns.
Well, that's why it cost $8. Those little guys cost a lot of money.
They don't work cheap.
Was it,
well, they dance and they sing songs. Right?
Was it from the tap with the nitrous and the whole drawing of the four-leaf clover in the head? And
I think you got rooked.
No, it was pre-poured, and it was in a plastic glass, actually.
I think you got rooked. They were probably just midgets and dressed in green.
I think those are leprechauns, officially.
They are leprechauns. The wee people.
The wee people.
But I did get a St. Patrick's Day question to an Irishman. What's a seven-course meal? A six-pack of Guinness and a potato.
That's pretty good. Hey, should we cue the music?
Oh, is it that time?
I think we should.
Yeah, sure. Let's bring on the Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater. Let's see. Today's beer haiku is from Captain Hops. It's a beer haiku daily. And remember, the haiku is 575, and this certainly matches the pattern. Can someone please stop all the frickin' leprechauns dancing in my head? Beer haiku. Oh, clap.
Class and culture. Freaking leprechaun.
It brought a tear to my eye.
He is. He's misty. He's
I'm verklempt.
That's more of a high.
All the freaking leprechauns.
That's funny. Captain Hop's Beer Haiku Daily. He's a twittin' son of a bitch, too.
You know, they seem to be commercially viable. He's got all sorts of advertisement.
He's doing good.
Yeah.
I believe it's all because of us. And we've been promoting him years now.
It's a Big Foamy Head love.
And the fact that he has a good product that he puts out on a consistent basis.
That's beside the fact. I think it's specifically because we promoted him and need to get the lawyers on that and get our piece.
Share. We need a piece of the pie,
now,
Captain
Dick, tell me about this beer again.
Good call. Okay, well,
let's talk
what,
about
yeah,
this.
Our beer, what we're drinking now, we've rounded the corner and into homebrew corner, and we're drinking a beer that has a very interesting way involving espionage, Nazi spies, beautiful women, Rick in a bush. And it's it is from Craig Bellinger, our pal, he of Brew Bubba's fame, and more recently, support it, love it, get to know it, craftbeerlocator.com. And,
that's right, and the Michigan beer scene.
And the Michigan beer scene. So Craig is one busy beer guy, but he found time to show us a little homebrew love. And this is his Belgian Dark Strong beer, weighing in at 11% alcohol. And Rick, give us the backstory on how this came to be.
Well, the backstory of this is Craig brought it to me in August when we both went to the Great Taste of the Midwest. And he almost missed his flight because he was carrying beers with him, and he was running a little late at the airport. And, you know, the Nazis kind of have to inspect your baggage and all that good stuff. So I don't believe he was planning on checking the bag, but he ended up having to. And, you know, like I said, he almost missed the flight. And then we got to the beer festival. We weren't quite sure if we were going to connect. So he didn't bring the beers in. He left them out in his car. And he said, well, okay, I'm going to hide them, and I'll let you know where it's at. So the next day I get this text message, and it's, well, you have to go to this restaurant and go to the dumpster and walk 10 feet over this way towards the railroad track, and there's a bush, you know, over to the side, and I put the six-pack of beers under the bush by the railroad tracks. It's like, okay. So the next day I was out there fishing them out.
And
plus
so
a trip to Memphis, and here's the beer we're tasting.
That's right. Oh,
and I think it's withheld all these travel adventures quite well.
This Rick has sold the screen rights to this, and this is National Treasure 3, and Rick will be played by Nicolas Cage. So it's got all the makings of an epic, right? It's like a cross there.
Indiana Jones was Cage from Leaving Las Vegas.
I thought this was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That's right. That's right. It's Rick and Craig's Excellent Adventure. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Bellinger brews an excellent beer.
Amen, brother.
It's a nice. I've got like little notes of honey. I've got some of the Belgian spice, and it's not as I've been swirling it. It's not a glass coater, so it's not a thick beer, but it has a good rich taste.
But you don't get any alcohol in it at all, Dick.
No, I'm not. I'm getting the
and at 11%.
I know
11%. You think you would? Yeah.
This is
a date rape beer.
To me, I am getting a little bit of honey, a little sweetness, sweet notes to me. And Rick, how's it going down for you?
It's beautiful. I mean, it's got the real nice Belgian character. It's got some spiciness. It's a good color. It's a little head. I mean, I noticed that when you guys opened your bottle, it was effervescent. It was kind of coming out of the bottle. But
yeah, got some foamage. Yeah.
I'm not noticing too many problems with aging and oxidation. You could tell it's an older beer, but. Hell, this beer has been around, so it's It's a really good Belgian beer, as far as I'm concerned.
I think I'd call it a panty dropper beer, wouldn't you? At 11%, I mean.
Yeah, it goes down pretty easy.
Man.
Craig is a good brewer, I'll vouch for him.
Yeah, he's definitely all about the beer, and we did mention Craft Beer Locator, but I can't help to mention it one more time. They put an awful lot of labor and love into the that site, and one of those is user driven too. You can contribute to it. So.
How about that obscure website, Beer Safari?
Yeah, is Brew Bubbas are on Beer Safari, right? And I went and looked. By the way, iTunes has recently redone their whole way of displaying a podcast, and there's a new everything but iTunes Music, iTunes. That works for every other phone and MP3 player. I think it's called Double Twist. And it has an Amazon store, and it has podcast as the number one feature. And when you go to it and you search for beer, we're way up there at the top, and Beer Safari is not much further behind. So Beer Safari's been coming up to the ranks, too. If you don't know what we're talking about, Beer Safari is our network of all of the good beer podcasts that are out there. And some suck ones, too.
Like us,
mixed in. But it's everything you ever want about beer. Yep.
Well, speaking of beer podcasts, one of our friends has gone pro, so let's give him a short plug and remind him they promised to send us some beer. That would be Mr. Rick Sellers from Pacific Brew News.
Yay, Rick.
Yeah. And Draft Magazine, right? Who's he write for?
Draft Magazine.
Yeah, Rick has done well, quite well. And again, this might be Mike Bond takes credit somehow for his success. But we've watched Rick go into getting the job there, writing it. Now Odinata is his beer that he's brewing, and they got some beautiful glasses that Rick is now obligated to send us because we just said so.
And according to their website, they say, what does Odonata mean? Odonata means.
Odonata.
It's our most popular question by far.
Dental
Odonata
supplies.
Is the family that encompasses all dragonflies and damselflies.
Wow.
So they're big fans of these mythical insects, and they tie in great with the Belgian theme we hope to cultivate in our beers. So.
And isn't there a piece of dragonfly in every bottle?
Maybe a leg.
No, some of Rick Sellers' love is in there. But
that's
all
right.
I don't think they actually add dragonflies.
All right. Well,
I like candy-coated dragonflies.
Yummy.
Yeah, they're good.
Is that, I believe, Old Trapper's coming out with some
dragonfly
jerky.
I think
they're doing May.
Doing May? Okay.
After the hatch.
So the dragonfly jerky should pair well with the Odonata beer, right? Yeah. Okay, good stuff from Craig. Thanks, Craig and Rick. Sellers, looking forward to the Odonata beer as soon as you get a case of it our way. And
two cases.
That's right. We have to have some because it is Memphis in May. So let's wind it up, and we're going to end outro with another Blind Willie McTell song. Let me scoop for you and. Good stuff. Great beers. What was our favorite beer? Rick, what'd you call your own?
I would say the Goose Island. That was really good.
Mike?
The Goose Island was pretty damn good.
Yeah?
I gotta say.
Okay.
Probably second was the one from Wisconsin. What was it?
The bourbon barley wine.
The bourbon barley wine. That was my number two.
Yep. Good. Vic, which one?
I'd say the bourbon barley. It's the Atlanta Sky Blue Waters. Definitely got the nod for number one for me.
Yeah.
But number two, I like Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Good.
You know, and I think that could be some unrequited love from high school and Sue, but I like Sue. Maybe I love her, but I thought Sue was good.
You'd date her, right? For a while? Okay. Well, I the Goose
All right,
Island.
So Yazoo Brewing gets a nod, even
Amen.
Though they're
yeah. And I got to go with Goose Island, followed closely by Sue. Yeah. I think they both just did it right. The Goose mm-hmm. Island, definitely not something you could drink a lot of, but it was like drinking candy and bourbon. And
oh, it's good.
It was just good. But it is definitely because it was so thick.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was good stuff.
And, you ever seen people get hit in the face with a pie?
Hmm?
That's what that beer reminds me of.
It's just a splat.
Bam!
Right there.
Right there.
That was delicious. It really was. It was an excellent beer. All right, well, let's wind it up. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back to see us.
Love y'all.
Stock is red, shoes is tan. I cannot stand to see a scoop then, man. Tell me, Mama, can I scoop for you?
Lay down to it, Papa.
If you don't believe I can scoop, you're right. Take me to your house and let me spend the night. Come on, baby, can I scoop for you?
Then let you do that, baby.
Oh, Mama, let me scoop for you. Pretty Mama, let me scoop for you. Tell me, baby, can I scoop for you?
Oh, boy.
Scoop me, Mama, till you drive me wild. Scoop me, honey, in the latest style. Come on, baby, can I scoop for you?
I've got that 1933 style, Papa.
Well, 3 barrels of liquor, 4 barrels of gin. You can't scoop, you can't come in. Come on, Mama, can I scoop for you?
Oh, boy, you rung my number.
Well, Mama, can I scoop for you? Pretty Mama, can I scoop for you? Tell me, baby, can I scoop for you? Scoop for you.
Sometimes, maybe.
Baby, let me scoop for you. Pretty Mama, let me scoop for you. Come on, honey, let your daddy scoop for you. Oh, man, I want your daughter. Scooping out daily for $1.25. Come on, baby, can I scoop for you?
More than that now, baby.
You scooped none since way last spring. Tell me, pretty Mama, can you scoop that thing? Tell me, baby, can I scoop for you?
Ain't that a sin and a shame?
Oh, Mama, let me scoop for you. Sugar, let me scoop for you. Come on, baby, can I scoop for you?
Oh, baby, that's me.
I ain't scooped none since way last fall. Can't you shake it like a cannonball? Come on, baby, can I scoop for you?
Come on, let's go see.
Oh, sugar, let me scoop for you. Baby, can I scoop for you? Come on, Mama, can I scoop for you?
Maybe.
Pretty Mama, can I scoop for you? Sugar can scoop for you. Come on, baby, can I scoop for you?
If you know how I want it, dear.
Well, peaches on the table and apples on the shelf. Can't do the scoop, Mama, by myself. Come on, baby, can I scoop for you?
Two makes the cheese more combined than
well,
that.
Well, that's scoop, baby. That's the way I like to do the scoop.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to do the scoop one more time, and I ain't going to scoop no more.
How come?
I just don't like to scoop. It's on every night.
Red God from Louisiana.
Baby, let me scoop for you. Sugar, let me scoop for you. Come on, Mama, can I scoop for you? Scoop for you.